The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
Hey-o.
What's happening?
Not much, man.
You good?
We are having such an interesting conversation pre-show. We should just really just roll the open over our conversations.
VSiN plus
yeah,
subscription.
That's right.
it was a offshoot of our Lenny Kravitz conversation.
It was, yeah.
Which became an Enrique Iglesias conversation.
Which I was telling you, I've had the Lenny Kravitz conversation with like three other people at this point. That the conversation lasts at least 15 to 20 minutes.
For those who missed it, what his place is in music.
Just why is he famous?
Fit him in.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Anyway, on the show today, JVT joins us. How about that? We were able to book JVT MLB college football with him later on the show, actually coming up pretty soon, actually. Pete Futak on the Big 12 as college football, but 11 days away. Jason Weingarten on baseball. Paul Spore will join us as well. Throwing some DFS with him. And then Paul Carr with his Premier League pre-floppers. All his season longs in the Premier League. It's interesting. It goes from golden boot to relegation and beyond. We'll do that with Paul Carr a little later on the show.
I'm excited. Nothing like a 14,
I am actually pumped.
Nothing like a 14-month sweat, Gil. You know? Just one season.
That's right. Premier League, we barely ever end.
You could have that ticket forever.
Okay. Let's get the tennis picks out of the way. Then we'll get to what was a spectacular night, I thought, in baseball yesterday. Nothing yesterday because there's only a couple real matches beyond the qualies in Cincinnati. This is the last big tournament before the U.S. Open. Sorry, Cleveland, I know you got a 250. My apologies. This is 1,000, both on the men's and ladies' side, the Western and Southern Open. I have two on the ladies' side, three on the men's side. These, again, every host, every guest, every sport, every pick at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. My tennis is there every day. Zach Cohen's got tennis every day. On the ladies' side, I have one play that I don't think you can play at the current price. Last night, again, this is why it pays to be a subscriber. Ashlyn Kruger last night, plus 189 over Donna Vekic, coming off her silver medal performance at the Olympics and her runner-up performance, remember, at Wimbledon. Kruger now plus 140-something I'm seeing. I would not play it that low. That one is probably out of whack to me. If you could find anything like plus 155 or up, I'd play it. But right now, that one's probably unplayable. That's why you got to be a subscriber. Victoria Tomova, though, you can play that. Plus 187 is what I have her at over Carolina Pliskova. She's right around there right now. And then on the men's side, a trio of plays. Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, your boy, Kelly. Plus 113 over Francis Tiafoe. It's only a couple cents worse than that right now. Jordan Thompson, plus 165 over Hugo Humbert. The Aussie, Jordan Thompson, that's in pocket. And Alex Mickelson's a little higher now. He's kind of on the edge. I'm seeing him at like minus 130. I don't know that I'd play Mickelson, quite frankly, but if you did, I wouldn't hate you. But don't play it any higher than that. He's taking on Talon Griegspoor. But I got him at minus 119 last night. So it's Kruger and Tomova on the women's side, though Kruger not in pocket anymore in terms of the parameters of where you should play it. Davidovich, Fokina, Thompson, and Mickelson on the men's side. Mickelson teetering on not being playable.
Alejandro's, he's grown up to, how do you say the second last name? The first last name?
I used to say
Davidovich.
Davidovich,
right?
But yeah, but everybody pronounces it Davidovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so we're evolving. It's okay.
And Francis Tiafoe, of course, is Tiafoe, but some people say Tiafoe. You know, it's a whole thing. Kelly Bidlin pronouncing women's tennis names throughout the U.S. Open. We're planning that.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. I'm a little angry right now because Davidovich, I feel like I've comfortably gotten down for the past couple years, and now this is just a curveball for me.
Putting you through changes, Kelly.
Davidovich.
I know. That's what they're telling me it is. Davidovich. Okay. Samsonova is Samsonova, you should know as well.
Getting ready for that as well.
Oh, it's a whole thing. All right. Baseball last night was awesome for a couple of reasons. One, strictly just baseball. The other, betting. I mean, both have betting implications. But first of all, what a game at Oracle Park in San Francisco last night. The Braves beat the Giants 1-0 in 10 as the Giants post-game announcers, Greg Papa and former Giants Sergio Romo and George Contos, were moaning about afterwards. I think a little too much, by the way. But what their point was correct, which is what a offensive way given a ghost runner to end a spectacular classic pitching duel in Major League Baseball. With the ghost runner, all you needed was a bloop and a sack fly. Giants couldn't do that, so the Braves win it 1-0. But it was the pitching duel between Chris Sale, who I will not call the presumptive NL Cy Young Award winner, but man, did he solidify it. Last night, he solidified his short shot status. Let's put it that way. Chris Sale yesterday, 7 innings of scoreless ball, gave up 3 hits, 12 Ks against, no walks. Is that good? And then there's Blake Snell. There was a gentleman on Twitter last night who was like, I don't know if Blake Snell throws a no hitter. Do you think? And then the Giants get in the playoffs. Do you think he could be a Cy Young? I'm like, he's 2-3. No.
And then I saw Mitch Moss reply, and I was like, going to bed. I was like, how am I going to bed before Mitch Moss?
How are you guys entertaining, by the way? Mitch and Paulie deserve all the credit for getting up at that
hour. They really do.
But Blake Snell took a no-hitter into the 7th last night. Remember, 2 starts ago, he threw a no-no. So he was trying to do a Johnny Vandermeer with 1 game in between. Not to be. He went 6 1/3, gave up no runs, 2 hits, 11 Ks against, 3 walks. So it was just awesome. But the Braves won it 1-0. So that was great. And again, Sale solidifying his front-runner status in the NL Cy Young race. The other thing was the Yankees were a -360 favorite against the White Sox. And they left 9 runners on base in the first 4 innings. And
hey, that's the White Sox time to dominate.
And the White Sox, who had won 1 in their last 24 before last night, were like, we're taking you down. And boy, did they. 12-2. And we've gotten, I just want from a historical standpoint, I just want to get to the point because people are like, wow, -360 favorite loses. When I was growing up in the old baseball world, Kelly, or at least when we've been tracking, you know, big favorites, I remember, like, in the early 2000s, there was a Randy Johnson-pitched game for the Yankees where they were north of a $4 favorite taking on, you ready for this, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Mm-hmm. And the Devil Rays took them down. And that was a big deal because it was north of a $4 favorite. But here's the story. Until the year 2016, from that Randy Johnson performance, until the year 2016, there was only, like, 2 $4 favorites in all of baseball, in any game. 1-1, the Yankees won in a game in 2005. The Twins lost in a game against the Nationals in 2007 as a -435. It was only starting later here in the last part of the last decade where the $4 favorite started to become a little more common, and I do mean a little more, peaking in 2019, the year that the Nationals beat the Astros eventually in the World Series. The Astros were so good that in at least, you know, not good in real life and then good per the market. In August and September of 2019, heading into that postseason, the Astros played 9 games in which they were lined as north of a $4 favorite, 3 of which they were north of a $5 favorite. You may ask, what did they do in those 9 games? And this is the betting cautionary note, as inspired by last night's Yankees loss at -360. They went 7-2. So what does that mean? 7 units to the positive, and then 9.5 to the negative with the 2 losses. So you can't, like, for those who think that this is easy peasy, it's baseball, for God's sakes. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Not just throw it in a parlay and check tomorrow for the winnings.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, like, you know, for those who do tennis parlays on a daily basis, and Lord knows I've done them, but, like, when you get to -500-ish and beyond, you do have to also ask yourself, is it even worth the risk of putting this in my parlay?
Absolutely.
Does it boost my parlay enough to even entertain that possibility of it killing my parlay? Anyway, so the Astros in 2019 were the peak of this. This year alone, Action Network posted this last night. The Dodgers, I don't remember this. In mid-April, they were -432 favorites against the Natties, and they lost. And then last night, the Yankees at -360, losing to the White Sox.
So. I also don't like, it doesn't feel like, the 2019 notes don't surprise me at all, except for I don't remember the up to -500. I don't remember $5 favorites.
The highest one was -521.
Oh my god!
They beat the Angels. They lost as a -518 favorite to the Tigers that year in August.
I mean, I do remember, like, when we were doing primetime action, I mean, that was my one live betting strategy always was the Dodgers go down a run. I was like, yeah, I'm just betting the Dodgers because it felt like they were $3 favorites every single night. I don't feel like we've seen as much of that this year, but I could be wrong. Feels like really, a couple years ago is when we kind of hit the height of that.
2019 was definitely the peak. There's only a couple, we're talking about north of $4 now. Only a couple in 2017, only a couple in 2018. In addition to the 9 Astros games in 2019, there was a couple others. So there was 11. Mm. 2019 was by far the peak. There was nothing in the pandemic year of 2020. 2 instances in 2021, 4 in 2022. I'm not sure how many last year, but only 2 this year. I did make a baseball bet, though, yesterday, a remainder of the season long, if you will. Still a quarter of the season left.
That's insane.
Mark Borchardt and I are doing our Q3 on Monday. So everybody's rounding the quarter pole, if you will, here in the next few days. I bet the Diamondbacks to be the number one seed in the National League at 12-1. 12-1. The Diamondbacks, who, by the way, have the best record, not only won July for the best record, outright at Circa, dead heating at William Hill Caesars, but they're the leader in the clubhouse in August, 9-2. Now, they do have injuries, right? Even though Eduardo Rodriguez is having a second start back tonight. Ketel Marte going to miss the rest of the series. He re-aggravated the ankle injury, so he's getting an MRI today. Hopefully, he's okay. They're getting Gurriel back, but Christian Walker, Gabriel Moreno, they're not expected back for several weeks. So there are injuries, but 12-1, only 3.5 behind the Dodgers for the number one record in the NL with a quarter of the season plus to play. I took a stab at that. We'll come back. JVT joins us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I always look forward to Paul Carr's Premier League season-long appearance.
I'm pumped, too.
I'm actually very pumped about that.
I think I tried to book him like 2 weeks ago, and it was like the first time ever Paul was like, all right, give me a little bit of time.
we actually hit him up during a Bet Bash week. We didn't really have that much room for him.
Right.
He was like, give me one more. So he'll be here later. By the way, Nigel Seeley, all his Premier League stuff at vsin.com, where you can really find every sport under the sun being addressed. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, all at vsin.com. Check it out.
I believe I see a matching bet, too, between Nigel and Paul Carr, yes.
A matching season long?
Yes.
Oh, I likes. We'll get to that later on. Before we get to some football stuff, because there's some sneaky injury and off-the-field stuff happening, just want to mention one more baseball thing. First of all, we glossed over the August wins. This, for whatever reason, didn't come up properly yesterday, so just to clarify on August wins right now, the Diamondbacks 9-2 lead August, Padres 8-2. Those teams they apparently do not lose baseball games anymore. Astros, Cubbies, both at 7-3, along with the Dodgers also at 7-3. Twins and Los Gigantes, 7-4. By the way, that Braves-Giants game has had huge, as does this entire series, huge playoff implications in the National League wildcard picture. The Braves trying to stave off the Mets and the Giants for that number 3 position. And, of course, some of us around here, Kelly, have Braves to miss the playoffs positions and have Giants to make, to make the playoffs and go far in the playoff situation. That's the thing about the Giants. That Blake Snell performance last night, the Giants are absolutely, with Logan Webb and Blake Snell, they are the proverbial, you do not want them in the postseason.
Well, it is like we're kind of joking about the Cy Young conversation, but it's more about if he can get fully on track, right? And then what you got to deal with Blake Snell in the postseason because he was stumbling coming out of the gate.
Yeah, but Blake Snell in his last 41 and a third innings, no, check that, 42 and a third innings, I believe I have that correct, has given up 14 hits.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Hits. Bob Melvin, who of course had a front seat to his Cy Young performance last year, season long, he was asked last night, is this better than that? He goes, yeah, it's better than that. He's way better. He said he feels like every night he's going to throw a no-hitter. Like, he's just incredible, Blake Snell, right now. The other thing in baseball, so Andy V.
Good for Giants fans. It was a shaky start to the season.
Well, it took him like 3 months to drive up from San Diego.
Yeah.
That was my joke before. All right, so last thing on baseball here before we get to the NFL is Andy V. tweeted last night, one of our great listeners here in Numbers Game, he talked about the Marcell Ozuna conundrum. And every time we've ever brought up Marcell Ozuna on this show when it comes to winning awards, I have always said, hey, he was suspended 20 games in 2021 for domestic violence. And so giving Marcell Ozuna an award even 3 years after, I'm not saying I'm not making a judgment myself. I'm just saying, will enough people vote for him for an award even if he is in play? And so what you have this year in the American League and the National League is a fascinating situation because in the American League, Aaron Judge is rolling. 42 homers. That's seven more than Santander for the Orioles. 107 ribbies. That's 10 more than Jose Ramirez has. And then at 329, he is only 18 points behind Bobby Witt Jr. 18 points. That's it. Remember when we first brought up this Aaron Judge against the field triple crown thing? People were worried because Stephen Kwan was coming off. You know, Stephen Kwan was going to get to enough at-bats to qualify. Stephen Kwan is behind him now. But Bobby Witt Jr., what was that? I'm going to give you the exact run that Bobby Witt Jr. is on to only be 18 points ahead of Aaron Judge. Bobby Witt has a batting average of .430 in his last 30 games. With 52
hits.
And he's only 18 points ahead of Aaron Judge. So Aaron Judge, that's how close he is to the Triple Crown. Triple Crown, which has only happened once, 2012, Miguel Cabrera with the Detroit Tigers, since 1967 when Carl Yastrzemski did it. Okay. Now, in the National League, Kelly is frantically going around seeing where we're getting audio. We're shutting down everything as we're doing this.
Is it your computer?
No, I don't know what it is. I think it was my phone, maybe. National League, okay. The Ozuna conundrum is this. Ohtani is the Judge equivalent in terms of, because Judge is minus 1,400 to win MVP in the American League. And Ohtani is, what, a minus 1,100, something like that? So Ohtani, 36 homers, 85 RBI, 298.
Ohtani minus 1,800, Judge minus 1,400. Oh, MVP, so, is that what you're asking?
So, yeah, so Ohtani even a bigger favorite.
Yes, he's even a bigger favorite, yes. And then the Triple Crown real quick. The yes price 9-1 on Judge.
9-1 on Judge.
Actually, it's 9-1 on Judge and Ohtani.
Okay, so here's my point about Ohtani. It should not be 9-1 on Ohtani, because here's the thing. Ozuna in Atlanta, Ohtani has 36 homers. He's in first. Ozuna has 35. This was Andy V's point. Ohtani has 85 RBI. Ozuna has 90. And Ohtani is hitting .298. Ozuna is hitting .302. So yeah. Ozuna is actually closer to the Triple Crown than Ohtani is. Wait, is there a line? It's just Ohtani versus the field?
Yeah, there's a no price on him.
What's the no
price? Minus 1,800.
I mean, he's close to getting it. He's close to not getting it. I wish there was a price on Ozuna. I'd like to see what that is.
Yeah,
What Andy V is pointing out is that Ozuna in the MVP market is 70-1. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying this is interesting because the betting market is reflecting what I'm talking about, like the reticence to vote for a guy like Ozuna. But think how historical the Triple Crown. Remember in 2012, I went through the whole thing where I'm like, you have to give it to Miguel Cabrera because it's been, at that time, 45 years since someone had done the Triple Crown. Yaz in 67. So you can't, like, ignore it and just give it to Trout. They gave it to Cabrera correctly, and they gave it to Trout the next year. But now it's been 12 more years since someone's had the Triple Crown. If Ozuna got it, he's 70-1 to win the MVP. Think how stats evolve and how we perceive them. It's just very interesting.
I want to say you – I mean, we must have been talking about Ozuna because it was this hypothetical situation. I mean, it feels like 2 months ago we were having this conversation.
The same conversation where I brought up the domestic
violence. And you asked me, like, do you think he'd win? And, like, I don't feel as sure saying it now, Gil, because I think it's way easier to say in June or whenever we were having the conversation – but I still think you get to the Triple Crown. I think he's winning it. I don't know how you box out a Triple Crown.
I don't think he's winning it.
Okay.
That's just how it, you know, it's like Felix won a Cy Young winning 12 games in 2010. Was it 12 or 13? I can't remember. In 2010. So we got over not having to win games. But that's why I bring it up, and I think Andy V makes a great point, because it's like, have we gotten that far past the Triple Crown being something? A Triple Crown is a made-up thing, right? It's hey, they just decided home runs, RBI, and average was the thing. But it didn't happen for 45 years. Now it hasn't happened in 12. But Cabrera getting it in 2012 means we've just X'd it out from our brains as a thing? Maybe. It's interesting because he's 70-1. He's not even close in the MVP market.
I don't.
And I don't know.
I don't hit a flyer on that ticket, though.
If he didn't have the off the field stuff, I don't. Maybe I would recommend it, but I can't in good conscience because I don't know how these guys are going to vote. The other interesting quirk about this is,
What do you mean? Maybe you definitely would at 70-1, right?
If
you
didn't have the, yeah. Okay. Yes, I definitely would. You're right. 302 is what he leads the National League batting race with. 302. Carl Yastrzemski won it in 1968, the year after he won the Triple Crown, with a .30056, which rounds up to 301, a generous round up to 301. So that's the lowest of all time. So this is, it's also fascinating from that standpoint, from a baseball standpoint. Anyway, you wanted to bring this up, and I think it's a good one. Jahmyr Gibbs of the Alliance, hamstring injury last night. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah,
could be.
We got a couple injury things to go through in the NFL.
J.J. McCarthy with right knee soreness after his great preseason performance. He's not expected to start week one, so not as big of a deal, assuming it's not a big deal. Assuming it's not serious, it's not a big deal.
The Gibbs one to watch out for. I mean, it was practice last night. He suffered this knee, the hamstring injury, they're calling it. I saw a couple reporters tweeting out that possible ACL involved.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. I mean, keep an eye out for news on that one in the next couple days. I mean, that would be a massive, massive injury for a team that a lot of people like in the NFC.
And then Hassan Reddick wants to be traded from the Jets. And then in his division, everybody's asking the Patriots if Matthew Judon is available.
So, Reddick's doing the – gets traded – and doesn't sign with the team and is now going to hold out. Or I don't even know what he's going to do. I mean, I don't really – some of these you don't really believe. It's kind of like Ayuk, right? Like Brandon Ayuk's kind of in a similar situation.
We're almost a week since. You weren't here. I did a whole Brandon Ayuk thing. Were you here when I did the Brandon Ayuk thing? Yeah. We're like a week away. I'm more convinced than ever he's staying in San Francisco.
I love that he keeps going back and forth, but it feels like an NBA thing. This doesn't feel like an NFL thing. It feels like an NBA.
Drama.
I can demand where I'm going to get traded, and it's all going to work out. And the NFL's like, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. You're an NFL player.
Yeah.
You do not rule the roost. Sorry.
And like, it's not so much the trade, it's the contract on the other side that's the problem.
You asked off air, does this change your opinion, the Judon thing or the Hassan, obviously the Judon thing doesn't, but or the Hassan Reddick thing, does it change your opinion of anything? It does not. I still feel the Jets are the cream of the crop, and I still feel that only one team is coming out of that division because their schedules are so tough. JBT next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage. Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. We have a lot to talk about with this gentleman, so no small talk, Kelly. I know you're urgent to have small talk with me. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. He's the co-host of VSiN. Why's that promo coming up? On VSiN Primetime, along with Tim Murray, and of course, our senior NBA analyst. JVT joins us, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
I'm good. It's a busy time. Very excited. I don't know if I'm going to derail you just for a quick moment.
Please.
I've decided to be an EPL guy this year. So very excited to watch what's going to transpire starting this weekend. That's my new thing now. Very much looking forward to everything. Footy involved, both American and European. So let's go.
I enjoy this about you, that you make a conscious, deliberate decision to be about something. And it's the Premier League for you this year. All right. Cool. You have any thoughts you want to share?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm just excited to watch. This is going to be my first year. Like, I will say this.
All right.
About like 6 years ago or so, I was an EPL guy again, or like for the first time. And I dedicated myself. I actually have like two or three Queen's Park Rangers shirts somewhere in my closet the year that they were up. And I think Chaz Austin was one of their strikers. I was going to be big on QPR. And then I believe they got relegated that year. And then it's kind of been downhill ever since. So I tried, but my team has been eliminated. So I'm waiting.
All right.
I'm going to fight the good fight. But until then, I'm just going to watch and track for the first time this full season. I want to see what it's all about.
JBT, our senior NBA analyst, our junior Premier League analyst.
There we go.
There I think we'll call him that. Okay, about the NBA. This is a little sports talk radio-ish, but I wanted to get this from you. I'm in the tag for Steph Curry. A week ago, before the championship game, this is after the semifinal game, when he dropped 36 against Serbia, I sat here and I said, great Steph Curry. I'll take great Steph Curry over great anybody else. And to me, he is conservatively one of the 10 greatest players of all time. And I was watching yesterday some mainstream media show on Fox, actually. And they were talking about how, like, that gold medal solidified his legacy. And my head was going to explode. That was awesome, though, wasn't it? I mean, I don't have yes. My question is not so much about, I mean, do you consider Curry, who won four championships, probably should have won six with the Warriors, could have, certainly, and then gets the gold medal. Did he need that to solidify it? And then how great was this whole thing anyway?
No, he did not need that. And in fact, I take it a step further. I think you can make an argument that Steph Curry is the greatest player of all time.
I like it.
Given his, you know what I mean? Well, given his impact on the game, right? Like changing the position, everything that we have seen, his ability to change games in an instant. I mean, we saw it in that gold medal game. I mean, you're talking about four bombs from three, one of which had two guys in his face. You never really doubt it. His impact on winning, his impact on the game. I think you can make that argument. He's been absolutely incredible. And of course, you have the championships to boot as well as the gold medal now, but I thought it was awesome. And as somebody too, like I had France to win gold, so I was hoping that they would pull that thing off. But I think at the end of the day, you get so wrapped up in the moment, which is like gold medal game. This is it. Biggest stars step up in the biggest spots, and there's Steph Curry just doing what he does and having all the fun in the world with it. It was hard not to get wrapped up in that. But I thought beforehand that you can make the argument he is the greatest basketball player we've seen, given his impact to the game on top of the winning and everything else. You didn't need that gold medal at all. This dude has been among the best of his peers, and I think you can argue the best at what he's been, especially at this generation. He's been incredible. I'm a big Steph Curry stan. You'll never talk me out of it.
I was screaming at the TV by myself alone in the apartment yesterday, like, what are you talking about? Everyone over the age of 60 who saw Wilt play just lost their minds.
Problem. Like, yeah. I don't want to defend them, but it's like there. You have so many great players from so many different
that's why I say top 10
eras that it's like almost impossible to compare.
LeBron, KD, and Steph doing that specifically in the semifinals, but all three of them, three of the top 10 players of all time. And you can't talk me off that position. These are unicorns. Each one of them is a unicorn. All right, this is a curveball. Political betting, apolitically speaking, you had a thought.
Yeah, well, I've been fascinated tracking like the market, you know, for a long time now, and just seeing where it's been going. And obviously, with the change in terms of the potential Democratic nominee and whatnot. But I thought one of the more interesting markets that hasn't really been talked about a lot is we talk about who's going to win outright, right? But I thought the popular vote was one of the more interesting ones. I think it's 7 out of the last 8 years, Democratic Party has won the popular vote. And I thought it was really cheap when we started. I mean, we were talking about Gil. I was tracking it like minus 200-ish. And it took a while, even as the Harris started to move, right, in terms of the odds to win this thing. The popular vote remained pretty static at minus like 250, minus 270. We've seen in the last few weeks that thing really escalate up to minus 500. But I thought that was kind of the underrated part about this, because in betting we talk about all the time is like, hey, value. And a lot of people think it's got to have a plus price next to it. But I thought when we were looking at really cheap prices like minus 250 on that popular vote, I was surprised that it took as long as it did to snap back. And here we are now at minus 500. But it's been something I've been fascinated by throughout this entire time.
Yeah, 2000, Bush beats Gore not winning the popular vote, and then Trump beats Clinton not winning the popular vote, if I have that correct. Those are the two modern-day quirks in that, Electoral College versus the popular vote. Okay, our guides are out, Pro Football, College Football Guide, and Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, unlimited access to our betting guides and everything else we do. Early bird price, $175. Full VSiN access through the Super Bowl. And JVT, you were integral to this. You focused on the Big 12. We're going to have Futak talk about the Big 12 a little later on the show. You also, of course, right in your wheelhouse, your bread and butter, talked Mountain West, or wrote about the Mountain West more accurately. And what is your big sort of macro statement from that conference?
So I think that the big statement would be that I do understand the love for Boise State in the Mountain West, right? I mean, they are the odds on favorite to win this thing. They are a lot of popular selections to make it to the college football playoff as the group of five bid because of everything they got back, right? Their entire starting defense. They've got a five-star transfer in Malachi Nelson. He actually might not win the job. And you have obviously one of the best players in the country in Ashton Gentry. But for me, I don't think minus 110 is a fair representative of the rest of the conference behind them, because Fresno State has the best quarterback in the conference in Mikey Keene. UNLV has a ton of returning production from a team that was one of the best ATS squads in the country last season and was second runner-up to Boise State last year in the Mountain West. The team that I ended up landing on, I bet UNLV at 8-1 at Circa when that was available. That's gone right now. But Wyoming at 14-1 is still a perfectly playable number for me. You do have Bowl leaving, right? Craig Bowl is gone. at head coach, but you have Jay Sovell coming in. He's been the defense coordinator for the last 3 years. You got about six guys coming back on this defensive unit, a lot of them up front, so you're going to have a lot of continuity there. And on offense, entirety of the offensive line's back, Gil. Your top three rushers are back, and a quarterback that you really believe in, Evan Svoboda, who does kind of is reminiscent of Josh Allen, right? 6'5", 240, wears number 17. But I think overall, when you look at them, the ability to play the big boys at home, Boise State has to go out to Wyoming late in the season. It's a very strong home field advantage. I thought looking elsewhere other than Boise State in this conference was the way to go. And I landed on UNLV and Wyoming, but at current prices, I still think Wyoming at 14-1 is playable by my measure to win the Mountain West.
Some late night Saturday mustard uniform viewing through the years on Wyoming on the Cowboys. 14-1 to win the Mountain West. Check out all of JVT's stuff and all of our stuff in the College Football Betting Guide. All right, we flashed up August wins in Major League Baseball a bit earlier. You have a play. Who are you? Who's your money on?
So I got the Twins at 20-1, and I think it moved a little bit off of that. And they got off to a good start. They were up there and tied with the lead with six wins. And they took the first two from Cleveland, and then over the weekend they lost the last two of that four-game set. Got a win yesterday, but I like this Twins team. The schedule, like, it gets a little dicey in the middle, but the front end of the back end of the schedule set up really nicely for them. And given the way that this lineup has been performing, thought it was worth it to go at 20-1. And the market kind of agreed with me a little bit in terms of the way that it moved, but I need a little bit more here. I was hoping they'd get, like, at least three out of the four against Cleveland, but I think it's a winnable series, and that's kind of all you need. You just need to get these series. But I really wish the Diamondbacks and the Padres would chill out for a second, because those two teams will not stop at all.
They will not stop. I said earlier, they will not lose a baseball game anymore, apparently. Good on you that I got to the Mets. We were talking about this off air, that I got to the Mets before you did, because the Mets are 4-6, not a good start. So good to have the Twins.
I was surprised, though. 20-1, I was like, wow, that's one of those where you like go to open it up, and then all of a sudden it was already at like 7. I think when I saw it, it was like 770. I was like, all right, well, I missed out on that one.
I saw 9-1 at William Hill Circa. I was like, pretty good. And then my eyes bugged out of my head at 20-1, and then they go ahead and, you know, get off to this start, 4-6. By the way, we didn't take it down all the way to the bottom. The Diamondbacks are 5-0 in one-run games. The Pittsburgh Pirates are at the bottom of this month. They are 1-9 and are 0-6 in one-run games.
Oh, my gosh.
Two against each other, that's by the way, brutal. Diamondbacks and Pirates. Sometimes it just comes down to that. Any baseball today, John?
Yeah, I put a small bet on the I've got the Dodgers here. I know Stone's going to get the start for them. I think with Mookie Betts now back, this lineup does look a little different. Mookie Betts obviously looked a lot better yesterday coming back in and going yard, driving in another run. I think this lineup is now a lot more potent. We saw the market kind of get a little watered down. We saw this open minus 117. We're up to minus 130. I think anything under minus 130 is still playable, but we're kind of getting to the point where you kind of want to tap out there. But the Dodgers there, and then I'm still waiting. I actually haven't checked. I got a little busy, but I wanted to see what the team total market was going to look like for Seattle. They're taking on Tarek Skubal. We know that Julio Rodriguez came back on Sunday, but he went 0 for 5 for 5 strikeouts. I still don't really believe in this lineup, and I think Skubal will be able to hold them down. So was looking at a team total in the first five for the Seattle Mariners to see where the market was going to be when multiple shops open up. But for sure, got the Dodgers in the card as well. And then we'll probably go back to the Braves. Want to see what the market does. I know Circa had them slightly favored. Other places are at pick.
How dare you? Closing the segment with a Braves thought over the Giants. Oh, it's you winning this thing against Dustin? You winning the weight loss challenge against Dustin? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. There it is. That's all you need to know.
Boom.
Jonathan Von Tobel. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
At me, JVT, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Who's going to start week one in the NFL? Worth another gander. We'll do that next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We can't get this Enrique Iglesias song out of our heads. If you need a contest proxy, talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its ninth year, providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winner. So maybe they're good luck as well. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. Packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro Stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. How you doing? You okay, man? You good?
Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm laughing at the. I'm gonna steal. We get tweets from you and get Kelly gets press releases. And it's
Kelly
just
gets press releases.
It's comical. The two I've gotten this morning: Swingers Las Vegas to open crazy golf hospitality experience at Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino coming November 8th, and then Daytona Lagoon hosts 2-night rooftop concert featuring Jordan Rayner. I don't know who Jordan Rayner is, and I'm assuming we're talking Daytona, Florida.
Get back to that swingers thing. What was that now?
Yeah, it looks like some little like putt-putt things coming to Mandalay. Yeah.
The way you read it made it seem like it was for swingers.
Oh, yeah, and I thought, when I first read it, I read Crazy Horse, not Crazy Golf Experience, so that was a little different, too.
We get tweets at Beating the Book, best listeners in the game, primetime, accusing producer number 5 and 8, Jeff Parles, the Grover Cleveland of producers, of voicing a ad. Jeff Parles chimes in, not me. Jeff wanted no part of identification with it. Forrest Lehman. Oh, Forrest, this is good. If Ohtani is a landslide this year, shouldn't he open minus 1,000 next year pitching?
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Sure.
It's a great point. Frank Doyle. Ozuna triple crown number at BetMGM Colorado. Oh, this is good. Thank you for this, Frank. Shohei is 8-1 to win the triple crown. Ozuna 13-1. They do have no prices as well. The no on Shohei is minus 1,400. The no on Ozuna, minus 3,000. This is from, D-Gen Southern Gen, who says, yeah, with Ozuna, it's not only the domestic violence, it's also the DUI incident. You're right. And in case you missed it about Snell and rehab starts this season, Snell threw 5 no-hit innings with 10 Ks for AAA Sacramento on May 17th and 4 perfect innings with 7 Ks for single-A San Jose on May 12th. And that's what Bob Melvin was saying. Bob Melvin, who witnessed front row again from the dugout step, you know, his Cy Young season, he's like, this is better. He's every time he goes out there, you think he's going to throw a no-hitter.
It's always like the when you got to go back to the minors or on a rehab start or something like that, it usually tend to feel bad for those guys. But I always think about stuff like that where you're like, it's got to be such a relief sometimes to be like, let me just throw some fastballs by these AAA guys, these bums down here in the minors. I'll get you back in form.
This is from my NC95 gambler. If you have Jason on your show later. Is Jason on today?
He is on today.
He is on today. Oh, NCI95 gambler. Matt Gallia that? I don't even have to. This is a request that already was going to make itself. You said, if you have Jason on your show later, can you please ask him about NL Rookie of the Year, in specific about Jackson Merrill's chances of winning? Thanks. Not only was I going to ask him that, Jason has been text bombing me about this for the last few days because he came on the show and talked about Jackson Merrill. While we have been pondering, not just us, but everybody has had their eyes on, hey, can Paul Skeens win NL Cy Young? Which I have repeatedly said, again, according to the Tom Tango numbers, he's got no shot whatsoever. He would have had to have been pristine the rest of the way to even have a chance in that conversation. He has not been. And so Skeens is not going to win the NL Cy Young, and then Chris Sale might have just, you know, shouted that out for real after his performance last night just to buttress that. We thought it was a done deal that he was going to win NL Rookie of the Year, and maybe he will. But he has gone from a minus 2,000 favorite, something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
To a minus 450, and even in some spots, a minus 400 favorite, which, again, still a big favorite, but not what he was. And Jackson Merrill is down to plus 250. Now, the reason that Jason has been going crazy, not only because he recommended it, he has bets, Jackson Merrill had, like, what was it, 3 nights in a row where he tied up games for the Padres in the 8th or 9th innings with homers. So, I mean, he has just been doing it in dramatic fashion. And so Jason has been texting me over and over about how he doesn't feel like Skeens should win even the Rookie of the Year. Obviously, he's talking through his bet, but it's a big deal. We'll ask Jason
I thought I saw Skeens at minus 900 this morning.
Anymore.
Down to minus 450. Pretty sure that's what I saw. Maybe it was last night.
Steven at Brosec 1870. 2 Mondays in a row, 2 different mics swing on my Illini with an under bet. What bet starts to my week? It was Montesano this week. Who was it last week? Can't remember.
That's good.
Mike Stacks. I heard you say yesterday McDonald's is leaving Circa. With all the pull you have, can you please tell Derek to also close the coffee shop upstairs and bring your sushi place in? Okay, I'll be sure to get all that with Derek. Derek, 10 hours in his office plotting the demise of the McDonald's.
Oh, Mikey Stacks from Delray Beach, Florida, man. I was down there last week.
Delray.
It's changing on me, Gil. It's changing.
To the good?
It's getting too fancy. It's getting too Boca Raton.
Del Rey is very fancy.
It's getting too Boca Ratonized, okay? Like, it's all my old, like, crappy dive bars are gone and stuff like that. And I don't like it. I don't like the changes.
How dare you talk about Del Boca Vista. This is from Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, but another one. Is JBT so desperate to win the weight loss contest that he had to shave his head, too?
Hey, anything helps, right?
Hey, man. That's absolutely right.
What is that? That final weigh-in's got to be coming up here, right? Was it right before NFL season?
You know, they bring up the sushi spot. I was waiting for your return.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing now. You keep pushing it back.
It was supposed to be last week, but I thought it would have been disrespectful. You were the one who kind of made this a thing.
Oh, man. Well, we got to set the date then.
We got to set it this month. It has to be like at the end of next week,
He keeps pushing it back?
No, it's August. I said the end of next. Let's just make it a date. It's August 13th today. Yeah. Let's say Friday of next week.
It's a good idea.
What is that?
It's a good idea. You're going to con people into listening on a Friday. It's a good job. I like it.
That's what I do. 23rd of August. Bam. Sushi announcement.
23rd of August. All right. It's coming, folks.
You have 5 tennis bets. I gave you a baseball bet on the Diamondbacks number one seed. I don't know if I'll have a bet in this category, quite frankly. But this is week one starting quarterback odds. These are available where? DraftKings has these?
Oh, we're all over the place today, Gil. Because I'm using multiple books here. Is FanDuel and DraftKings because some have only a couple listed, some have the others listed.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think these are all kind of accurate. The Broncos, after Bo Nix's great performance the other night, Bo Nix minus 245. Jarrett Stidham is plus 186. Zach Wilson is 70-1. Zach Wilson would have to have two injuries happen in front of him for that 70-1
to cash. That sure feels like it.
Oh, yeah. He is way down on the depth chart.
My only question with this one is, do you feel like we've... Like, I think it's probably accurate, but, man, that's a big swing towards Knicks after 1 week.
Yeah, it could be closer than that, but he's the favorite, I think. We'll skip the Raiders for our purposes right now. Russell Wilson's minus 520. Justin Fields did not look good.
I mean, that's like, you could have made an argument before that game that, like, hey, at plus money with Russell Wilson not even been able to, you know, really practice going through an injury, just the possibility that he, like... This is one where, you know, we've gotten used to talking about these markets, Gil, right? But worth the reminder, read the fine print, right? This is just week one starter. Doesn't matter who's starting week two.
Week one first snap
First snap. I mean, like, if Russell Wilson, for whatever reason, can't play week one, maybe they still want to play him week two or get him back ASAP.
Right, but if they're both healthy and this is done right this moment...
Yeah.
Justin Fields is plus 350. Russell Wilson minus 520. For those who missed it, Steelers lost to the Texans week one of preseason 20-12. Fields was 5 of 6 for 67 yards, but he was sacked twice, and he had 2 fumbles on snaps from the center. So there you go.
It's not great.
Vintage Justin Fields.
Vintage.
Patriots, Jacoby Brissett's $9 favorite. Drake May barely got any action, plus 550. And then even though Sam Howell played pretty well for the Seahawks in week one of the preseason, Geno Smith, still an $8 favorite for the Seahawks to take the first snap week one.
Man, if I knew, someone told me Geno Smith was not going to be injured between now and when the first game occurs.
Someone told you that?
I feel like I'd be running to lay even minus 800.
We'll see if we can get anybody to tell you that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let me know about every other significant injury in the NFL this year. That'd be helpful.
And then the one I skipped for a purpose is a literal coin flip here. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. What book is this? They have them both
at minus. FanDuel. DraftKings does have this up as well. O'Connell, slightly bigger favorite there. I think minus 130 there.
All right, so FanDuel has it minus 113 and minus 113. And Antonio Pierce, won't you be my neighbor? He has said they will announce it after week two.
Yep.
After this game.
Does it come down to
this game's performance? Is that what this is about?
Man, I would think if he said that, then they already know. But I don't know. I would have said Gardner Minshew before last week.
Here's what I'm going to do, because I don't have the courage to ask Antonio myself. I'm going to ask Delicious to ask Antonio, and then maybe Delicious
will
tell
me. That's a
smart move. Yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Right now, I have no insight.
Or the valet guy. Just, you know, yeah.
Ballet guy just asking about all kinds of other stuff. We'll come back. Pete Futak on the Big 12 next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.